All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Today we will be reviewing the Liam Gallagher show at Finsbury Park, which I attended, and we had a meetup. It was really good to meet a few people in person that I'd spoken to before or sent messages before. It was really, really nice to put some names to faces. And obviously there was a concert as well to go to, which was an added bonus, I suppose. If you've been following on Twitter, you'll see I did a written up review on the Patreon page. So if you want to have a read through of my views, then go ahead and have a look at that over there. We'll obviously be giving my views on here. And also, more importantly, we'll be hearing the views of you guys. And if you haven't sent in a message to us and you'd like to, if you've got something particularly that you'd like to add, then do feel free to get in touch, oasispod@gmail.com. And yeah, happily drop it into a later episode. Plus, very exciting, we will be speaking to Johnny Brown, lead singer of Twisted Wheel, who played on the second stage. A blistering set, it was fantastic to see them. And yeah, I managed to get hold of Johnny via Twitter, and he was happy to come and chat to me. So yeah, so that'll be coming up as well. Get his views on the day and what's happening with Twisted Wheel. We'll also touch upon the Liam show at that Transmit Festival up in Scotland as well, because it sounds like that was quite eventful. So first things first, let's go all the way back in history to Friday 29th of June. We had arranged to meet up at the 12 Pins, which is just on the corner at Seven Sisters Road. And thank you very much to Carlo, who is Sigs Alk, who does loads of Oasis video stuff. He put that brilliant documentary together on Be Here Now, and he's working on Standing on the Shoulder of Giants as well. So thank you to Carlo. He put a little video together sort of announcing that meetup thing, which is really cool of him. It was a shame. Carlo was around in the area that day as well, but we didn't manage to make it happen, which is a shame. But Carlo, next time you're over, yeah, we'll definitely make that work. So yeah, so over in the pub, a few people came over and came to say hello, which was fantastic. And so I did a couple of bits of recording. I didn't end up doing as much as I'd like to, but then we've had some audio messages afterwards as well, so we will get to those. But the first person I spoke to was a friend of the show, the brilliant KT Georgiou. So we're here on the Seven Sisters Road, I think we are right now, is it?
Yeah, we are, and the station's just around the corner.
Yeah, so that is the voice of the legendary KT Georgiou. How are you doing, KT?
I'm good, thank you. Not sure about the legendary, but...
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Anyone that's heard the episode that we did together and your various bits you've done for us, it is very much deserved legendary.
Thank you.
So we're on the Seven Sisters Road, and because I'm going to see Liam Gallagher later, but you're not.
I'm not, no. I've got to go and counsel a few people before. I've got to go and counsel three clients who are not having a good time whilst everyone else is having a good time at the Liam concert.
But you were saying that you've got a new therapy technique, which is just bring them to the concert.
Yeah, just bring them to the concert. Everything will be fine. That's all they need.
I've all I need.
That's I've it. All I need, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really good to meet in person today. Like, we haven't met before, and so it's so weird with this. We have so much...
contact online. I suppose it's a modern thing now that just happens, but
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, you're a real person.
Yeah.
With hair
real,
and like, and, yeah.
A lot of it. Yeah, it's really lovely actually. It was really nice to meet. So if I remember the names correctly, Rob, who's your friend,
yeah.
And Dave, and yeah. His friends.
Yes.
He brought as well.
His friends. The one that looked like Michael Carrick and the one that looked like Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I was going to say he looked like Taylor Hawkins, yeah. Actually. That's who I thought. I think his name is Taylor, isn't he?
Is it?
I'm sure I heard someone say Taylor. Maybe they were just referring
I think
to
that was
fact,
me taking the piss, actually.
Oh, okay,
but
fair
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, that'll be it. Cool.
Yeah.
And so I was going to say like what you're looking forward to tonight with Liam Gibb, but you're not going.
No, I'm not going, but I am looking forward to the possibility of hearing him over the air, because yesterday I was almost certain that I could hear a sound check. I don't know if it was real or not, but I heard him sing Supersonic and Some Might Say, and it was either him singing or it was a neighbour who was blasting out some Liam live, but it was definitely like a live recording of some sort. So I'll be interested to see if I hear anything else again tonight. And if not, there's like a walkway between here and where I live where you get quite a good view of the stage, so I might see if I can get there later and have a look.
Might be have a sneaky look.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, Katie. Well, as always, so much appreciated you coming on the episode, and I know everyone really loved it, and we'll do it again sometime.
I was just going to say, it's like a little gathering. It feels like a religion, because just outside the pub here, there are so many people that look like Liam, or, you know, they're obviously all Oasis fans, you know.
It's incredible. It's just to paint the picture, on the Seven Sisters Road, we've been in the 12 Pins pub, just looking back at it now from across the road, because it was just so loud. But it's like, you know, like an England match, you know, just there's singing, there's, you know, it's crazy. And it's great. And it's just all building up. This is a festival of music and festival of just the magic of what Liam brings out in people, because he's such an amazing character. So,
yeah.
All right.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Speak to you later.
So that was Katie, and as it turned out, she did have a pretty good vantage point to hear what was going on, and she was sort of tweeting out the different songs she could hear, which was very cool. Just to say as well, so there was a bizarre situation where someone had tweeted at Liam, "Oh, I can hear that whiny Liam Gallagher sound checking, what a pain." And then Liam said something like, "No chance, I'm sat at home watching the tennis." But Katie, it was also around that time, had said that she thought she could hear Liam sound checking. So I don't quite get what that was all about, whether or not maybe it was just someone playing a live recording loud, or it was the band sound checking, maybe someone standing in and doing a bit of a Liam impression, or Liam was just lying. I don't know, but it doesn't really matter anyway. So the other thing that was interesting that happened in the daytime was the also brilliant Cynthia, who is at Style of Oasis across the internet, and came on and did the episode with me about the style of the Gallagher brothers. She, if you remember, had been backstage at that snowboarding festival thing that Liam played, and had managed to get him singing Paper Crown. It went a bit viral. Well, she's only gone and done it again. So she was working behind the scenes, I think just helping out in car parks and things like that, and she heard the sound check. So this is about 12:30, 1 o'clock or something in the day, and she tweeted at me this fantastic video. So let's have a listen to this. So yeah, fantastic exclusive. Well done, Cynthia. It was brilliant. And so obviously we were crazy talking about it in the pub. I mean, it was a little bit spoilers for the show, and it was a bit of a shame that kind of it did spoil the surprise, but it was really exciting to know that it would would probably be happening. Obviously, it's a Noel Sun song on the record, other than Liam's backing vocals. And he's only tried to sing it twice before, and both times he messed it up. So let's have a little bit of those. So there's The Borderline in 1994, and then there's Main Road.
One of his face, man. Not the words. Let's just get bonehead swing sorted out here before we go any further, because it's not happy with it and it's starting to grow some hair and we don't want that, do we? Let's just keep it like a little bit light on socks, like, sort out. One of these spacemen, you're too old. I forgot the words, and there was something more. Something like you want to be a spaceman. Well, I can't afford a spacesuit in there. No, that did
just
there,
give us,
yeah,
give us, give us a minute here.
Right, yeah. Right. Told you. Johnny Roadhouse, right? They put him right out. Don't
never get any from Johnny Roadhouse.
From Johnny Roadhouse. And I told him, man, don't trust Johnny Roadhouse, not on a day like this. Forget it. Buy your gear out of a catalogue. It's rocking. Catalogue. Freeman's, something like John England. Not Johnny Roadhouse.
So, did he play it? How did it go? We will come on to that in a bit. But next up, I spoke to Ben Renshaw. This is good fun.
Yes, it's good to come out here where it's a bit quieter, isn't it? Right, so this is Ben Renshaw.
Ben M. Ren on Twitter.
The man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, mate.
Where are we right now?
We are Finsbury Park, 12 Pins Pub. It's packed to the rafters. Everyone's out in force. It's going to be a good day, good night.
This is so beautiful, man. This is so great seeing.
No, it is. People. It really is.
You're getting up. We can see Oasis t-shirts, Roses t-shirts. I can see plenty of bucket hats.
And plenty of fit women as well.
Yeah, it's like 96 again. Yeah. Liam fucking Gallagher t-shirt, loving that. And you're just knocking over some drink there. Some... Don't worry about that.
But obviously, yeah. They left it there. You know,
yeah, yeah, that's their fault. Anyway, Ben, we were just having a chat in there and it was very interesting. So I said, no, come on. Stop. There's no point in having interesting discussions unless you're recording them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then they're not real.
Yeah, I knew you were... You know what? I can see the look in your face.
So going. This is good.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is interesting.
This needs to be recorded, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you grew up in basically West England, right?
West England, North Wales. We also, I sound like a Scouser. Everyone's going to say that, so...
Yeah,
might as well cop up to it, yeah.
And so you said that your first... So your first kind of Oasis experience was hearing what, Champagne Supernova?
No, it wasn't my first experience of getting into it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so before 2014, the average, no, not even average Oasis fan. Someone who's heard of Oasis, they know. So this is the songs I knew. Wonderwall, Don't Look Back in Anger, Stop Crying Your Heart Out, and one more, I didn't think, what, Roll With It. Yeah, everyone knows that. Yeah. So, about 2014, driving in a car with my mates and I, you know, just casual driving, cruising around. So then one of them's got a song on a playlist. Song comes on, it happens to be Champagne Supernova. Intro comes in, oh, this is interesting. This sounds like someone being poured into a glass. All right, what's this, yeah. Then the vocal hits you, and I just thought to myself, fucking hell, that's fucking amazing. I heard Wonderwall and all that before, but, you know, Wonderwall's not a very good vocal, let's be honest.
Right.
But I heard Champagne Supernova and I thought, oh my god, that's some fucking talent. That is actually a really good song. And then hearing the guitar solo at the end drew me right in. And then after that, straight onto Amazon, I bought the whole Oasis discography.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get into it. But you know when you listen to something three or four times and you just get it?
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
And ever since then, that was it. Oasis, through and through.
And so what period do you really find yourself going back to?
Oh, I'm a 1997 Be Here Now maniac.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it about that album?
Coked up. Off their heads, madness, songs that are 20 minutes long. Yeah, that's what they were all about. You know what? It wasn't their greatest, but that summed up. That was the pinnacle of who Oasis were. The Be Here Now era. Truly not giving a fuck. Lads from a council estate, biggest stage of them all, off their fucking heads, not giving a shit.
And so you're 25, right?
25, yeah.
And so why has there not been a band that's done it since, like that's captured that since? What the hell's going on?
Because, let's be honest, no one's got the state. It's not just the music that you buy into.
Yeah.
It's not. You buy into the clothes, you buy into the attitude, you buy into the fashion, you buy into the way that they talk. You know, I know Noel was saying on an interview, remember the early one when he's arguing with Liam?
Yeah.
It's all about the music. Music, music, music.
Yeah,
but It's not the sole thing. Like Liam says, anyone can make good music, but if you're a bit of a knob,
exactly.
No one's having you.
No.
You can make the best song in your bedroom, the best song ever written.
Yeah.
But
you're a prick. If you look here cheering.
If you're walking out wearing Crocs, you know, a bandana or something mad, no one's gonna have you. So
that's part of my thing, right? I found myself in the last couple of days stuck in a public place on two occasions. Having to listen to A Shape of You by Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And I was just like, because I try and avoid him wherever I can, but in this instance, I had to listen to him. I was like, Jesus Christ. And I think it is kind of, it's prejudice because he's a ginger prick.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm like, He's a square.
He's a square.
And he's trying to talk
square.
Like he's all being all sexy. Like he's like, oh, I love the shape of this woman.
Oh, you know, you know what?
It's like, fuck off. Any woman that would go near you would run a mile.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of Breakfast Club. It's a radio show in LA.
No.
It's like R&B, hip-hop sort of thing. Okay. I've seen him on an interview on there, you know, trying to get down with the brothers and that, you know, like he's cool and hip. He's a fucking nerd. I'm like, and you know what? I love Eminem. Yeah, I've got to see Eminem Twickenham. All right, look at you knocking over things.
Oh,
right?
Shit, that wasn't me.
That's one for one, that, yeah?
That's all right.
Got to see him in Twickenham and that. But did a song with Ed Sheeran, River. The music video, I just look at Ed Sheeran and think, he just looks like an overweight badger. You know, I can't take him seriously.
No.
I can't take him seriously when he's like trying to be in like, oh, I'm in a, you know,
I'm so cool.
Stress relationship.
Oh, sorry,
I'm so angry, like, you know, I might go psycho or something. He's not going psycho, is he?
You're gonna be whinging, crying, texting the girl at 3 a.m. and they've just moved on because you're a prick.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
it.
Right. Yeah. He's talented, but like I said, there's more to being a fucking star
exactly.
than that, isn't it? So,
exactly. Mate, good. Anyway, so we're here to see Liam. How are you feeling about the gig today?
Well, like we've seen before on Twitter, do you want to be a spaceman? Bit random. I don't know if I'm really looking forward to singing along to it. You know what? It's one of the B-sides I actually skip over.
Is it? Okay.
I just think it's a bit... bland. Doesn't do anything for it.
No, see, for me, it was one that I always loved. I always loved that. There was something special about that.
Maybe it's
the time it hit me because, you know, it's all about, you know, being a kid and growing up and are you going to, you know, and it's that. So hitting me at 16, that was like,
Probably when I first heard it and, you know, it's a bit basic, isn't it? A bit just like, It's alright. No, I like it when he forgets the lyrics. Does he forget the lyrics or forgets the chord?
Right up, he says.
Yeah, he forgets the chord or the lyrics.
He says, we could talk about, and we could just forget about feeling down. Fuck that right up, didn't he?
And he did forget as well.
He did.
That was uncanny, yeah.
I don't know the next bit. Hi, well, that's that then, isn't it, I suppose? This one's called Talk Tonight.
Okay, you having that or what, man?
I don't know what made him pick that for an Oasis song to sing as a big surprise. Bit out there.
We'll see.
But listen up, whatever. You know what, I'm not a big fan of Bring It On Down.
Really?
I'm really not.
You just wanted to be here now. You just wanted to do the Be Here Now in full.
Yeah, you know what, because they evolved from the punk era after that. Bring It On Down is very punkish. I'd probably say I'm not a big fan of punk, no. So, like, that's what, like, Greedy Soul, punky and that. That's what he likes to go for. I think if he had to create an album his whole way, entirely on his own, his decisions, he would make a full punk album.
Yeah, he'd Bring It On Down times 12. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. But obviously, because he can't write 12 songs for an album, 10 songs, you know, he's gets all help he can get.
Cool. Good. All right. Well, we're gonna head in the bit. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling full on the hill, and I feel fine. Don't look back. You know what you might see. As you were.
So yeah, that was very cool talking to Ben. We went into the venue together, and along with my mate Rob, who I'd gone with, and Ben had VIP tickets, so he went off through the VIP entrance. And we kind of lost him there and then didn't find him again throughout. So I did find that he was okay, though. He survived, apparently, so that was all right. So getting into the venue was interesting. So we'd had this... the terms conditions stated bags couldn't be bigger than A4, as in an A4 piece of paper. Now, the bag that I had with me was bigger than A4, clearly. I hadn't really... taken that seriously, and then we got there and the guys were saying, well, look, you're probably not gonna be able to take that bag in. So we got about three or four checkpoints that where they didn't really do anything at all, and then got to the main bit where you had to walk through a metal detector. And I put my put your phone and your keys or whatever in a little plastic bag and put that in the tray. And they said, okay, put your bag in the tray, please. Anything metal in there? I said, yeah, there's an iPad in there. They said, okay, thanks. And they didn't look at it. They just waved it through, and I walked through, and I put the bag back on, and I went. And I thought, well, that's a bit strange. I could have had anything in there. And especially thinking about what happened at Manchester Arena last year, did they not want to check that bag? But anyway, no, they didn't check it, and I went, and that was all fine. And then quite interestingly, walking around, I was probably propositioned for drugs about 10, 15 times. And he kept me in, any pills, any Charlie. Like, that's been a long time since I've been approached like that at a festival. I think most of them, the security's so good now, they're checking bags and people aren't getting in with that stuff. So it's pretty surprising. Anyway, so we headed in, and the first thing we did was Loyal Kana was playing on the main stage. We had a bit of a stroll over and watched a bit of him. So let's give you a little taste of Loyal Kana. Check will bounce, see how we're moving for money, but there's nothing but debt around me. So when the rest have found me bugging in the brain, and I'm somewhere between the struggle and the strain, they ask why every fucking song the fucking same, and I tell them it's cause ain't nothing changed. Saying ain't nothing changed, check. I'm saying ain't nothing changed, just cause ain't nothing changed. Saying ain't nothing changed, nah, cause ain't nothing changed. I'm saying ain't nothing changed, just
I'm saying ain't nothing changed. Brother, cause ain't nothing changed. Saying ain't nothing changed. Nah, cause ain't nothing changed.
So not your typical Liam Gallagher support act. Yeah, hip-hop is nice to have a bit of something different on the show. It was a little bit strange, and the crowd wasn't really into it too much. So I didn't see the full show. I saw the last sort of few tracks. And yeah, it seemed all right. Given the choice, would it have been good to see sort of another kind of indie band or an older indie band that where people know the tracks? Then, well, yeah, that probably would have gone down a bit better. But hey, it's good to have something a little bit different. One thing though, he kept sort of in between songs, like leading choruses of "It's coming home, it's coming home." I'm just sick of that song. Like, I loved it in 1996. I loved it when it was re-released in 98. It's great to hear it occasionally. Just hearing a bunch of fat old middle-aged men sing it, I just can't be bothered with it. Between every song, it was like starting up all around the place. Oh God, I just couldn't be bothered with it. It's just we're in this sort of bizarre point at the moment, because as I record this, England have qualified for the second round, having scraped a 2-1 win against Tunisia, having had a decent 6-1 win over Panama, but you know, drawing the second half 1-1, and then having lost to Belgium, and yet that is cause for everyone to be singing that football's coming home, as in we're gonna win the World Cup. Yeah. Anyway, but it was just annoying hearing that being sung everywhere. And the other annoying one was a lot of people kept singing Atomic Kitten, Hole Again, but with Gareth Southgate, "You Can Turn Me On." Jesus.
1, 2, 3, 4, looking like you're living for me. I cannot escape and I cannot forgive. Southgate, you're the one, you used to turn me on. You can bring it home again. 1, 2, 3, 4, looking back on where we first met. I cannot escape and I cannot forgive.
Not cool, not cool at all. Not a Liam Gallagher show, at least. So I wasn't having that. But anyway, yeah, so Laurel Carner was fine. I then had a stroll over to the second stage where I wanted to catch Twisted Wheel. And as we wander over, we think, oh, we'll go and grab a beer on the way. And you think, hold on a minute, what's that huge queue of people like snaking around the whole venue? Oh, that's the queue for the beer tent. It was insane. The queues for beer were like an hour to 2 hours. And so we just said, forget it. We're just not even going to drink anything else from then on. Because I knew I wanted to see Twisted Wheel. I wanted to see Wolf Alice. The rumour was Richard Ashcroft was going to be there. I definitely wanted to see him. And then obviously Liam. And I could not be doing with sitting in a queue for like an hour to 2 hours to get a beer. And as it turned out, after the event, yeah, that was exactly what was happening. People were furious about it. It's just come out today. Festival Republic have released a statement basically blaming the beer company. Apparently 40% of their staff didn't turn up, and that's what caused all the queues and the delays. I think that's a load of rubbish. I mean, it might be true, but in reality what caused it was that there was three, I believe, beer tents, and there was loads and loads and loads of food places. We're not going there to eat food. 90% of people there are going to go and drink beer. And the food places, there was hardly any queues at all. And yet the beer places, queues were going all around the... queues were going back for miles. Madness. Why not let the food vendors sell beer? Or why not have less food vendors and more bars? It's not that difficult, surely. Have you not done any research? But anyway, I'm going to stop moaning. I have put in an official complaint to Festival Republic, so I'm going to let you know if they come back and what they say, because it really wasn't good enough at all. And for a lot of people who wanted to go and have a drink before Liam, it spoiled the day, because, you know, you couldn't get a drink, or if you were going to get a drink, you'd probably miss half the day. Anyway, so over to Twisted Wheel, and... yeah, that was a really good set. Twisted Wheel are a band that have had a lot of problems. They were really heralded when they came out and very exciting. Disappeared for a bit, came back with another album, a bit more low-key. then disappeared again, and they're just coming back. And Johnny Brown, lead singer and primary songwriter and guitarist, has had a pretty dreadful time of it by the sounds of it. But anyway, I contacted Johnny, and and he was happy to come on and have a conversation. So here's me talking to Johnny about generally how things are going with Twisted Wheel, their time with Oasis, and also the day, how he felt it went at Finsbury Park.
So, I've literally just come off the table. I've not even looked at my phone yet, so I've got a message there.
That's all right. So Colombia equalised in the last minute.
No way.
And then went to penalties, and England won 4-3 on penalties.
Oh, absolutely amazing.
It's mental, isn't it? It's like, what?
Yeah, what a bloody year this is turning out to be, like,
mental.
Football, the weather, and sort of just like Liam coming back, and just so much great stuff going on.
It's mental, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Good.
So I just got some. I couldn't wait. Since I started the band back up, it's just been like foot to the floor, you know, getting practicing, teaching the new lads old songs.
Yeah.
That took quite a while, and just getting things back. It's just been non-stop. So I just literally had a bit of a gap. I'm just letting my hair down for 2 days.
Fair play, mate.
Back to work tomorrow, Thursday. So
yeah,
just enjoying it while I can, mate.
Yeah. So the first thing I was going to say, it was great to see you back. Like, you know, having read about, you know, what a tough time you've had in the last few years, you know, it's just nice to see you back, you know, okay and all right, and you know, and sort of with it and with the band again. So, you know, so just, you know, just wanted to say it's really nice to have you back, mate.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure to be back playing again and doing it, mate. I mean, at one point I thought it was never going to happen again. I didn't touch a guitar for 12 months, and I thought that because all my life I've dreamed of, from being a kid, from being in the bands, my dad got me into Oasis, coming out and learning to play guitar, and I always sort of knew what I wanted to do, and then I started achieving it a bit, but I thought it was all gone, and then now I'm back and things are just on the up. I mean, it's early days now, but I feel so positive, and it's just great to be sort of back playing the guitar, doing gigs again. And writing songs, which is the main thing for me. I just give up writing. I couldn't write anything anymore. It just went.
Nice quality. And congrats on the new EP. Is you're number one in the charts, mate?
Number one. I was gonna say he's not like the old days in the top 40, but he's still number one.
Well, it's number one in the physical chart, right? And if you and if you take it like the lineal chart, that's the real chart. That's the chart that dates back to 1952, is based on physical sales. So I think you can claim that.
I can claim it, mate. I'm claiming it all the way to the bank.
But no, it's really good. I've really enjoyed the new EP, and obviously Johnny Guitar. It feels like it's quite a autobiographical song. Would that be fair to say?
Definitely, the best thing that sort of makes me sort of chuckle is, top of the physical charts. Everyone, you know, in the chart mainly has sort of a pretty decent label behind them. Twisted Wheel, Johnny Guitar is Twisted Wheel, self-release, which that's, you know, I'm actually proud of that.
No, that's great.
We've not had much help. When we brought the band back together, did a few interviews with people, a few websites and stuff like that, but you know, the industry sort of completely shut us off.
Yeah.
Try to get loads of people from back in the day when we was, you know, in 2009, in 2010, that's sort of when I lost touch with a lot of people, and people have moved to different places, but no one seems to really bat an eyelid. Now, this last sort of 2 weeks, people, the phone won't stop ringing.
Fantastic.
They all want a piece of it. So, it's just great. It's a good feeling. I'm a slap in the head of a jab, a deep dream with my dad. Don't want to sleep like the law.
Brilliant. And so how did the Finsbury Park show come about?
So, yeah, so after those great gigs we did with Oasis years ago, so we did Eaton Park. Before that, we'd done Wembley Arena, Birmingham, Sheffield. Anyway, we met Noel Liam, and they became fans of the band as well, and we got on with them. And then, obviously, you know the story with Twisted Wheel, ends up splitting up, and then I've been here, there and everywhere and whatever, and I always thought, you know, if you ever got anything back sorted, it'd be great to try and get hold of some of the people from the past, you know, maybe Liam or Noel or whoever, and send them my music. But I never had any music to send them, and I thought, I don't want to get in touch with anyone with, when I've got no ammunition, you know.
Right.
What I mean, so I just left it, and then as soon as I'd done that recording, I got the band back together, and I went and recorded this EP that's just come out, and I just thought, I need to get hold of Liam and see if, you know, send it to him. So I got hold of someone close to him, and yeah, put it forward that I was back, and, you know, really, you know, can he help me, or whatever, and, you know, within a few hours, that person came back to me and said, "Right, well, Liam's buzzing that you've got your band back together. We're on holiday at the minute, actually with Liam. I think he was having a break, sort of pre-tour break thing. He was listening to Twisted Wheel around the swimming pool, apparently.
Well, he's tweeted about you before, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's another thing. Twitter, I was never... it's only the last few months I've started doing all this Twitter stuff, but it's sort of spoiled it. It does you the world of good once you get into it. People seem to like it, you know. But yeah, so Liam got hold of us via this person, and said we could support him. So Finsbury Park came first, and then obviously Lancashire Cricket.
Fantastic.
And it's coincided. The EP came out. It was due to come out a few weeks ago. We pushed it back a little bit. It came out a few weeks ago. Coincided with that gig at Finsbury Park, and everything's just fallen into place. And I think it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's all great.
Oh, that's quality. And then what's the next step then? Is it another album, or what's the plan?
It's Twisted Wheel we're talking about, mate. It could go anyway, yeah, but it's only going to be positive and great this time. But yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot. It could possibly be a single next, then another single, and then an album, which will include those singles or one of them.
Yeah.
I'm half thinking, should I do another EP, just to sort of, because I can,
yeah,
and then do an album. We haven't got a record deal at the moment, so it's all sort of down to me, really. And unless something happens, and I want it to sort of stay that way, in a way. Looking at it now, I think that the best way to go is sort of keep going how we're going and try to do it ourselves and get in touch with people who are willing to help us, and sort of DIY it, because I think maybe, you know, that's what's needed now. I don't know, but like I say, it's going to be new music coming soon. There's an EP just come out, and hopefully in the next few months there'll be something coming out, a single or an EP.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, and I think that the Liam's, you know, the unbelievable response to Liam's return has showed there is a passion for guitar music. You know, it's not the most fashionable music anymore in the mainstream TV and stuff, but you know, you try telling that to 50,000 people jumping up and down at Finsbury Park on Friday.
Exactly, but then you've got to think, it's not, like you just said, it's not in the mainstream. But then I think a lot of the people who are controlling the mainstream at the moment, mainly like the younger people who are controlling it, they don't get that sort of thing because they haven't grown up with that sort of stuff.
Hmm.
They're oblivious to the past, the 60s and the 70s and the late 70s, especially with the punk movement and stuff. They're oblivious to it, and I think they can't connect to that sort of stuff. And a lot of these younger people with radio pluggers and all sorts, but they can't relate to it. But there is still people out there who will make it happen, and I think that it will be back in the mainstream rock and roll and guitar music. It will come back. It never dies. It always comes back. It's just a matter of time, I think.
Yeah. No, it was funny when I was talking to Rick Witter from Shed 7, and he was sort of saying that you know, he was having to fight them off for the exclusive play of the first single back. But then no one would playlist him, you know? And it's like, okay, so you're all fighting for me, desperate to get the first play, but then actually, no, because then, you know, because that's based on, you know, Steve Lamacq or these individuals. But then when it actually comes down to the you know, is it going to be played once a day or twice a day or whatever, then it goes through these bookers and whatever. And no, there wasn't a sniff, which is outrageous, because that album was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. It's a funny old thing. I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom of what goes on. But I just think you just got to keep trying and pushing. And I think a band like us are a great band to sort of try and, we're good, you know, we're part of that, start to push that through and get some more guitar music back there. If it doesn't, we'll get to the people anyway, our own way, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it'd be nice to get playlisted on. You know, I can't see why any band wouldn't want to get playlisted on Radio 1, and why wouldn't you do? But if you don't, then you just got to do it another way.
Yeah, well, you've got, I mean, you guys were known in that first wave when you came through and were sort of heralded. The amount of gigs you did was insane. You know, you were supporting everyone and doing your own stuff around the country. I think you sort of topped the most... What was it? I think I was reading the other day. You'd sort of been the most gigs of any band in that over that period or something. It's crazy, but you know. So you've got that work ethic and the ability to go out there and play to the people and get it out there to them. And that's I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just what you got to do.
I will play anywhere. I mean, the other night we done Finsbury Park there. We had a great turnout. Absolutely, come off stage. I made up, not felt like that for a long time. The next night, we was playing in a cellar in Blackburn, 250 people, with no stage, air, absolutely fuck all on stage, feedback, beer everywhere, people getting crushed. It was really hard work, but that's the reality of it, and I was just as buzzing, well, I wouldn't say I was just as buzzing, but it was great. It was a great experience doing that as well.
Different sort of buzzing, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that even if, yeah, but did get to the next level or the level after that. I, because of my career being mainly sort of playing toilet venues and stuff like that, people were like close in my face.
Yeah.
I think I missed that, and I'd always make sure that I'd go back to do a bit of that anyway, where I could.
Yeah.
Even if we did, I'd have to keep it real now.
Yeah.
Just because of how it's, you know, how the past has been, you know.
Yeah.
You stole a song and it's raining outside. You stole a song, you ain't giving them to anyone. You stole a song. You stole a song. You stole a song and it's raining outside. You stole a song, you ain't giving them to anyone.
climbed up to the song. I took with me my sunglasses, I took my water pistol, and eventually I shot him. I stuck him in my bag. I took him down the ladders and he toasted all my fats, and then I hung him in my bedroom. It was nice and hot. I went into my wardrobe, I put on my shades and shorts. Soon they had a suntan, they hadn't told us all. The police came out to ask me, I said I didn't know. You stole the song!
Well, the Libertines always did that, didn't they? They were always kind of doing, you know, they do the big shows and then they do like secret shows in people's living rooms and stuff. They were famous for that. Yeah, so,
exactly.
Yeah, no, you can still do it. You can still keep it up. Cool. I mean, so just going back, I mean, you mentioned that it was like what was it? You said your old man sort of got you into Oasis back when you were a kid. Is that right?
Yeah, he got me into Oasis, but before that, I heard Beatles and Led Zeppelin and a few other bands, Stones and Small Faces, from my dad's record collection. And then one night, my dad got back from it. My dad used to work down in Old Trafford, and he got in from work, and he had a copy of What's the Story, Morning Glory. I think I was about 10 then, and he went, "Listen to this, kid." And he's like, "Get on to this, you'll love it." And I took the CD into my bedroom, and I don't think I came out of my bedroom for quite a good while, mate. I actually even wrote the words down to "Hey Now" on paper, and then gave them to my mum and said, "I wrote a new song." I kept that up for about 2 weeks. My mum was showing all my friends, she's like, "Look what John's wrote." Obviously, they realised for a bit, but that's how much it affected me, that album.
Fantastic.
And then I remember I camped out in my mate's garden, and we rigged the telly up and got the telly in the tent, and that was the first play of, do you know what I mean, the video.
Oh yeah.
Well, the first play we saw, it was definitely one of the first ones. It was late at night on a Friday night.
Yeah.
We all camped in this tent and watched that. And then, obviously, around that time, I'm going to be definitely, maybe. And, yeah, just another level, took my life to a different level.
And as well, you coming from, or you're older, aren't you? Or you're around that way?
Yes. Still down here, older, mate.
Yeah. So that must have been, you know, because it wasn't like, you know, there'd been a lot of bands before, but for this band to be from, you know, Greater Manchester as well, and sort of, and flying the flag for it and being very proud of it, and not changing their accent, not changing the way they act and dressing like regular working class lads. It was, I mean, it meant a lot to me as like a Southern Ponce. So I think it would have been even more to you giving up from that part of the world.
Yeah. I suppose watching these rock monsters when I was really young, like Led Zeppelin and stuff, like the song "Remains the Same" video, I think it's live in Madison Square Gardens in New York, and Jimmy Page has got his like mad dragon suit on, you know, with his close Paul and his flared pants and his big curly hair, and I thought, whoa, you know, I'd never be like, I'd look like some sort of like mutant superheroes or something, you know what I mean? But I suppose when you see Oasis, you thought, I can connect with that. That was the main thing, you know, it's, you know, people could connect with it, and put it more in touch, I suppose. You can never forget how many kids have got into music and started playing guitar through that band.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He's still going now. He's still appealing to the young kids today. I mean, my girlfriend's young brother, he knows every word to every Oasis song, but he's like 17.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't even about when they come out, and he knows every word. So he's still going now.
Yeah.
Probably never stopped.
No, well, it hasn't. It's mad. I think it's more, it's bigger now than it probably was for the last 10 years of Oasis. You know, it did fall away a bit in those, in that, you know, sort of Coldplay and people like that kind of came and sort of took that mantle of the biggest band in the country. But there's no one bigger than them now. You know, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, cool. Good. All right, mate. Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, I say, I'm so pleased to have you back. I really enjoyed the show at Finsbury Park. It was really cool. You know, I think I've seen quite a bit of chat on Twitter about, you know, they were disappointed that you guys weren't on the main stage. And I think it would have been great if you had been on the main stage. But what I really liked about it being on the second stage is that there was loads and loads of, you know, real dedicated Twisted Wheel fans who knew all the words and singing along. It was a bit annoying, actually, because I quite wanted to hear you. And I've got, like, some fat geezer shouting the words in my left ear. But
yeah, that's how it goes. I sort of think that as well. But until we can get to the level of having our own sound guy.
Yeah.
He's going to get the sound bank on, so even if people are singing, you can still hear it. You know, we're working like we've got to get on the stage and tell this sound guy who've never met before that what we want on our vocals and how we want our guitars to sound and stuff like that. So I think it's great though. We're on the second stage. I'm glad we was on the second stage because we made a big stir.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think I'm lying by saying we was the best band on the second stage.
I think so.
Know that.
Yeah.
Songs are great. Give me the second stage and I'll smash it to bits. Hopefully, we'll be on the main one. Well, we will be on the main one soon.
Yeah, no, it's quality, mate. It's quality. And what's the plan if you, are you going to carry on doing other bits with Liam? Or do you know what, if there's anything else coming up with him?
I bloody hope so.
Yeah.
That's all I say on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, you did.
And a dreamer, yeah. I think something good could happen. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but yeah, why not?
Yeah, yeah. Cool, good. And then, so what else you got coming up? I had a look. I think you've got a gig down in Southampton coming up in July. It's July the 6th.
This is Southampton's Friday, so yeah. I'm just enjoying a little holiday now. Back tomorrow to practice Thursday. Southampton sold out show Friday, yeah. So
fantastic.
That's one of the last gigs of the Snakes and Ladders tour.
Yeah.
Which was a sort of comeback tour. We've got a few festivals: Kendall Calling, Blackthorn Music Festival near Stockport, maybe possibly Leeds and Reading, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just a few festivals, and then we'll be announcing the next tour in the next few weeks.
Great.
Being booked as we speak, so yeah, onwards and upwards.
Nice one, man. Well, that's fantastic. Good. All right, well, as I say, I won't keep you much longer, but it was, really good to talk to you. And I'm just so pleased to have you guys back and making music. It's, it's really exciting, and we need more Johnny Browns in this world, that's for sure.
Good old, thank you very much.
Cool. Well, we always tend to end interviews with the guest choosing the Oasis song of their choice. So is there a particular Oasis song that means a lot to you?
Nearly all of them do. but right at this moment in time, what can I say? Girl in the Dirty Shirt.
Girl in the Dirty Shirt, quality. I like that. That's a good choice.
Yeah, that's because I just spilt my like 50-pound chocolate mousse down my brand new pretty green shirt. So not that I'm a girl, but we can call it the boy in the dirty shirt. Johnny the boy in the dirty shirt. Yes.
Quality. All right, well, we will drop in a little bit of the boy in a dirty shirt, but Johnny, mate, much appreciated. Great to speak to you, and all the best with the upcoming gigs and the new music, and enjoy it, man. Much appreciated.
Thanks very much, Jay. Cheers,
cheers, man. All the best.
Is what you made me. Come dancing with me, cause to me it doesn't matter if you're home.
So thank you so much to Johnny for taking the time, and greatly appreciated. And it's really nice to hear that he's doing so much better now from where he was a little while ago. Very scary, actually. But so pleased to have him back, and great to see them at number one in the charts. Yes, it's the physical charts, not the actual charts, but still, that's brilliant. And, you know, it demonstrates the love for that band and that people are willing to go out and actually, you know, spend real money to buy a physical thing rather than, you know, just downloads or Spotify listens or YouTube views, which is driving the main charts now. So after Twisted Wheel, we had a stroll back over to the main stage. Wolf Alice were just finishing. To be honest, I didn't catch a huge amount of them. We bought some food, some £8 chicken noodles, which I wasn't best pleased about. Anyway, so then had a sit down in the sunshine, had a chat, and kind of caught a little bit of them, but not enough really to pass any comment. It had been another sort of Cynthia confirmed exclusive that Richard Ashcroft was playing. I think it was a pretty poorly kept secret, seeing as he'd done all these other shows with Liam, that, you know, that hopefully he would turn up and do something. And earlier in the day, I think back in the pub, Cynthia had posted a sort of a stage time sort of sheet that had been handed out, and it said Richard Ashcroft acoustic 20 minutes. And so that was kind of confirmed it, because obviously I trust Cynthia. And so, yeah, so we headed down there to get a decent spot for Richard. He came out, he played basically the four singles from Urban Hymns, and that was about it. And he was brilliant. You know, he's got such a great voice, he's got such a great presence. He had the crowd completely captivated. You know, these songs are from an album called Urban Hymns, and that's exactly what they are. They are hymns. You know, if you're an indie kid, if you grew up in the 90s, or if even just this is the sort of music that says a lot to you, it was an almost religious experience. Incredible to see the man himself, everyone singing along. It's a little bit annoying because I couldn't actually hear him, because all I could hear was everyone else around me singing. But yeah, it was just very, very cool. The only criticism I'd say is that a lot of Verve songs tend to go on quite a bit at the end, because when he does the recordings, he'll often do that thing where he'll have multiple vocal tracks coming in and sort of, you know, he sort of overdubs two or three or four different melodies over the different ending bits. And so that meant a lot of the songs kind of went on a little bit at the end, which was fine, but if he sort of trimmed them down, the main verse and choruses, then he could have fitted in another track. It would have been nice to have heard something, you know, maybe off of his first solo album, or, you know, History, or On Your Own, or something like that. So, yeah, maybe just cut the endings of those songs down a little bit next time, Richard. Okay, thanks, mate. Then it was on to the main event. There wasn't a huge amount of turnaround after Richard Ashcroft, because, as I say, he was just acoustic. So I think the band was pretty much all set up and ready to go. So it was only a quick turnaround before Liam then came on. And as you know, and as we used at the start, he's coming out to Bushes, which is great. And he is doing the walk-in like a boxer, you know. So it's the cameras following him, walking in from backstage. The only thing is, it seemed to go on quite a long time, and a couple of times it was like he didn't quite know where he was going, so it was almost getting a bit Spinal Tap, hello Cleveland, at times. But he was all right. He managed to find his way to the stage in the end and came on to a rapturous applause, as you can imagine. And we were sort of about 20, 30 people back on the right-hand side of the stage, as you look at it. So the left-hand side, if you're standing on the stage, a.k.a. stage left. And, you know, and it kicked off straight away. Because, as you know, if you followed this, he starts off with Rock and Roll Star, then Morning Glory, which is just a mad sort of jump up and down fest. So gradually we started getting closer and closer throughout the show. And then by the end of the show, pretty much throughout the whole encore, we were pretty much at the front. You've just got the, generally it tends to be just like the girls at the front, just clamped to that barrier, and then a few people around them. But yeah, we were pretty much there. We were pretty much at the front, which was very cool and wasn't quite expected. And yeah, and had the impact. I got absolutely battered. Not battered as in drunk, because, you know, it was impossible to get a beer, but battered as in had people bashing into me and crushing me. It was a proper old-fashioned Oasis gig. Now, I'd been to see Noel a couple of months before, and there was a bit of jumping around when they played Little by Little, but except for that, it was pretty much everyone was just happy watching the show, having a nod, having maybe a little groove on the spot, but that was it. You know, two very, very different crowd reactions. That's what Liam can generate. Yeah, so I was a little bit bruised and battered the next day, and but as I said, I think the difference is seeing Oasis back in the day, there was a danger. It was a football terrace. You'd always have a contingent of just sort of idiot men deliberately pushing and deliberately sort of charging, trying to create that swell and trying to make people fall over and get trampled. And it used to always do my head in. And there wasn't much of that. Generally, people wanted to jump up and down and have a good time, but there wasn't that same kind of dangerous air of aggression that was at some Oasis shows. Also, it was really nice to see there were some people there with kids, you know, like young kids, like 10, 8 years old on shoulders and things like that, which is really good to see. Really interesting mix of ages from, as say, 8, 10 up to, you know, most obviously geezers in their 30s and 40s, but yeah, really nice mix of range of people. It's a shame they kept singing "Is Coming Home," but anyway. One of the things that's been interesting discussion on Twitter, and I've run a poll on it, is how do we feel about this current set? Because personally, you know, while I was there, I loved it. Every track that started, you think, oh, fantastic, it's X, you know, and it's brilliant. And so I haven't seen Liam on this current tour yet. This was my first time. So I haven't seen any of these songs yet. So it was really, really good. I know if you've seen him on the smaller ones he did last year, then a lot of the tracks were the same. But actually, he did mix up the set list a lot. And the discussion has been, has he now moved too much into the Oasis back catalogue? You know, should he be doing more with the As You Were songs? Or should he be doing more from later Oasis or BDI? And it's a tough one because, you know, you can't win. I think when he first came out, he pretty much played the whole of the As You Were album. And people got a bit annoyed there wasn't enough Oasis songs. And obviously the criticism that Noel gets all the time is that he doesn't play enough Oasis songs. And then Liam played 12 Oasis songs to 5 BDI, and pretty much all of them from 94-95. And yeah, he's getting a few pelters now for playing too much Oasis and being a bit too sort of karaoke-ish. So yeah, you can't really win. But I say have a check out that poll. See where you came out. Think more solo, more BDI, more Oasis, later Oasis. What do you think? One of the points that I made in that little article, and I did want to make here, is that it might not do me any favours getting interviews in the future, but the band, it's still not there. You know, it's still not there. There was something wrong with the sound all day. The whole of Liam's show, the sound was a bit off. It felt a bit quiet. Liam was complaining. He kept sort of talking over to the people at the side of the stage. So I think he recognised that something was up. There were times when Jay Mailer would sort of walk over to Dan the drummer and be sort of nodding very heavily. So, you know, whether or not there was some sort of problem between them, they couldn't hear each other, I don't know. But the band was off, you know, especially the lead guitars. The lead guitars, you know, we've talked on here before, and I've said a few times, you know, Noel is not a great guitarist. You know, Noel's a solid rhythm guitar player who can do a bit of lead. I tell you what, watching these guys try and fail to play Noel's parts, I have not given him enough credit. He is a very, very good guitar player because he always crushed those solos and guitar parts perfectly. And here we've got two guitarists sort of who kind of take it in turns to try and do the different lead bits, really struggling, not getting them right at all at times. And yeah, and you could hear it, you know, you could hear it. It was just off. So whether he should refresh the band a little bit, or whether they just need a bit more time, I don't know, but it wasn't great. You know, and once again, if we're doing a bit of a Noel Liam comparison, Noel's High Flying Birds are absolutely solid. You can hear what each individual member is doing. They're all fantastic. From Russ, the bass player, from from Jess and Wisey on vocals, and Jess on keyboards as well, to Mikey on keyboards, who's brilliant, to Sharik on drums. You could hear every individual instrument, and they were all absolutely on top of their game. This band, as I say, the sound was just like a muddy mess of sound, not really loud enough. You couldn't really pick out any instruments other than really the lead guitar, which sounded a bit off a lot of the time. And then Liam's vocals, you could kind of hear, but I say the problem was everyone else was singing all around us, so it's kind of hard. And I suppose it's just because it wasn't loud enough. And also, a few of the songs sounded quite slow. You know, it really did feel quite slow. And I think when Oasis played tracks, they would kind of speed them up a little bit live. So let's just do a bit of an investigation here. Let's have a little bit of, some might say, on the record, Oasis live version, and then from Finsbury Park. Some might say that sunshine follows thunder. Go and tell it to the man who cannot shine. Some might say that we should okay, so as you heard there, I picked out the same piece as close to the beat as I could get it for those three different recordings. And and for the studio recording, that piece comes in at 34.97 seconds. The G-Mex one was the second one. That comes in at 31.98 seconds. And then a lot quicker, about 3 seconds quicker. And then this new one from Finsbury Park comes in at 32.6 seconds. So really, it is a little bit slower. It's not as slow as I thought when I compared it. I thought it would be closer to the record, but comparing it, it's slightly slower, but not a huge difference. But I don't know. I think it was something in the playing, maybe. It just felt a little bit slower. I'm not sure why. One of the things that was very evident, and I think you can hear it, especially in the clips of Rock and Roll Star I played last week, Noel's backing vocals are sorely being missed here. There's a couple of the guys in the band have got mics, and I think they are doing backing vocals occasionally, but it's nowhere near as loud as when Noel does backing vocals. And, you know, his backing vocals are as loud as Liam. These guys, you can hardly hear that they're actually doing backing vocals most of the time. And it misses something. There's that great sound of the two voices together. And, you know, Noel's clear voice with Liam's growlier voice that just works so well. And there is something missing from the songs without Noel. But what actually happens in real life is that we, as the crowd, as the 50,000 or however many people are there, stand in for Noel. We're often doing the backing vocals. And, yeah, it's pretty amazing to hear that, really. It's nice to be Noel in that equation. But it would be better to have Noel there. And just to drop in quickly, that there was a nice tweet from Liam earlier today where someone said, "Is Noel better than you?" And he said, "There's no such thing as better. We are brothers. And when we're together, no fucker, and I mean no fucker, comes close. Oasis for life," in capitals. So that's nice to see. You know, however that said, you know, he introduced Greedy Soul saying the witch was polishing her broom. Obviously, a reference to Noel's wife, Sarah, which is just, you know, once again, pretty brutal. And, you know, in one breath, he's talking like that, Oasis for life. And then in the other breath, he's, you know, insulting Noel's wife in front of 50,000 people. What do you expect to happen? So, there we go. I know it's so yeah, so I don't know whether it was this, there was a problem with the sound, or if it is the band, I'm not sure, but you know, it's not quite there. So if you're doing, let's say, if you're going doing the head-to-head thing, not that there's any need to do that, but it's good fun. Yeah, on the band stakes, yeah, the High Flying Birds definitely take it. Liam on stage, as I mentioned, he was quite grumpy about the whole the sound and moaning about the sound problems. But other than that, he was very heartfelt. You know, he was he said something like, "I don't say it very much, but I love yous," you know, and he said another couple of things. And I think he recognised how bad the sound was, or the problems, because he said, you know, some shows we play a blinder, but the crowd aren't with it. Today, it's the other way around. You guys have been absolutely brilliant. So he didn't go as far as to say that the band had been rubbish or the sound had been poor. But, you know, by saying that, it was clearly, you know, he's obviously realised. And another Twitter point as well. Tommy Ride 11 said, "Finsbury Park was biblical, wasn't it?" And Liam said, "It was indeed. You're only as good as your fans, and you lot were outrageously good." So, yeah. So it's. I think he recognised that it wasn't ideal. So, yeah, all in all, I mean, Liam, I say, absolutely fantastic. He completely nailed it. His vocals sounded great, I think. It's pretty hard to hear because of the singing around us, but, you know, I think he was pretty much spot on. The set list, I say, was great in terms of just being there to enjoy it, because it was chock full of those Oasis songs. And, yeah, and it did, or the at the very end, not quite at the end because Wonderwall was the last track, but coming up at the end, he did do "Do You Want to Be a Spaceman?", as we'd heard earlier. And it was quite interesting to get all the gasps of sort of recognition from the people around us, and we just thought, huh, smugly, we knew exactly what was coming. But yeah, and he was great. You know, it was a perfect rendition of a song he'd never sung before, and it's one of those where he said on Twitter that it popped into his head and he felt like he wanted to do it. Or is he actually trying to prove something singing the songs that Noel sung? But yeah, it was great to hear. And you know, and you can debate who sings it better, but it was really lovely to hear him sing it. And then Wonderwall played. Oh, previous to that, Bonehead came on stage, as we expected. It was really good to see him on stage. Couldn't hear him, to be honest. I say the sound was a bit muddy, so I couldn't have told you whether or not he did actually make any sort of difference being there. But it was just nice to see him there, and him and Liam had a nice hug on the stage, which was cool. Yeah, and I say, then the last song was Wonderwall, which, you know, it's not my favourite. As we said, I would have no problem with it going from the set, but it was, you know, to hear it, you think, yeah, that is a phenomenal song. And as I say, he's playing it as straight as you could play it, to similar to the record. It hasn't got the Alan White drumming, but the acoustic guitar and the melody line is as close to the record as you can be. And then he was off. Once again, another then really poor disorganisation due to Festival Republic. The sort of the crowds where we were sort of all tended to go off to the right, so we sort of followed and thought, okay, well, there must be an exit down here because everyone's going this way. Got down there and it was pitch black, so tripping over rocks and everything, and there was just nothing down there. It was just a dead end, and there was a person with a megaphone saying, "This is not an exit." So, oh, okay. So we had to turn round, come back the other way, and we ended up basically doing a circuit of the whole site to then get back out to the exit where we come in originally. And yeah, and then just having 50,000 people just all heading, you know, towards Finsbury Park Station was just insane. You know, it's ridiculous. And I could see sort of barriers being dismantled. I think people trying to get out of exits were being crushed. I've seen some comments on Twitter of a pregnant woman saying it was really, really hard, really scary. You know, walking along in the dark with, like, you know, almost tripping over and all these, you know, getting crushed in barriers. Not good. Not good at all, Festival Republic. You've got to sort it out. Maybe question whether Finsbury Park is the right place for this, a type of event like this. But anyway. But ultimately, you know, all that stuff will be forgotten about. The abiding memory is I saw Liam. He was phenomenal. You know, cemented his place as the greatest frontman in the world. He's still got it vocally, as a stage presence. He's still absolutely brilliant. Say, a few concerns, as we've talked about, around the event, the band. But, yeah, ultimately, great show. Absolutely loved it. And, yeah, can't wait to see him again.
And all the lights are like the way of lightning. There are many things that I would like to say to you.
Enough of my yakking, let's hear what you guys had to say. So one of the people that I spoke to in the pub with his friends Michael Carrick and Taylor Hawkins was Dave Walker. Now you've heard Dave on the podcast before. He's what, at Dave 10 Supernova, and yeah, really good to speak to him. We didn't do a bit of recording just because times didn't work out, but then he kindly sent me over this message. So take it away, Dave.
Right, this is Dave Walker, Chris Barber and Rob Middleton reviewing the Liam Gallagher gig on the way home, well, on the way back to the hotel from the gig. Rob, what was your thoughts on the gig?
I thought Liam smashed it. I thought he did a really good job. He went out there, you know, he gave it 110%. You could tell from the look in his eye that he meant every word he was singing. And I don't know, I've never seen a gig like it. What can I say? 5 stars from me.
What brilliant. Chris?
I think I'll smash your sister.
Oh,
Chris, yeah, Cheapen, so Chris Cheapen, Chris Cheapen, the review. Just, it was a very classy review.
No need for that.
And then, you know, an unsavoury comment about my sister. And, you know,
I know.
She's single.
I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, it was a good gig. It was very good. Apart from, it was very quiet, and we all thought it was a bit too quiet for our liking. Could have been a bit more louder, but it was a good set list. Whatever was good.
You actually doing
it? Yeah, of course I'm fucking doing it. What's your favourite song?
I don't know.
It's got all shy now. Whatever, probably. What was your favourite?
Oh, Live Forever.
Live Forever.
I don't like it when it slows down too much.
Don't you?
Now it's just like, ow.
There we have Mr. Positive as usual. Anyway, we're getting back off. That's been our review of Liam Gallagher at Finsbury Park. Yeah, so, hi James, it's Dave again. It's a couple of days after the gig now, and after a lot of editing, you've got about a minute's worth of a gig review there. I have to apologise for my mate Chris. He's not the easiest person to ask questions to, as you could probably hear in that. But no, like I say, a couple of days after the gig, it's still buzzing from it. It was amazing. Just a top day. started off by meeting you guys and having some really good talks with you and Katie and Rob. It was really good, and that was a perfect way to start the day. Then when we actually got in the gig, it was just like a red hot day. It was amazing. The support bands were good. Then the surprise we all kind of had worked out, Richard Ashcroft coming on, was just, oh, like, I'm just so glad I got to see that. Like, just what a perfect, like, warm-up act. Like, just did four Verve songs, and it, oh, like, that was it for me. I was just I was in the mood already, but that was just brilliant. He's such a cool bastard, like, wearing a glittery jacket. Like, I don't know many people who could pull that off, but he did. And just with the sun starting to go down a bit in the sky and him with his acoustic guitar, I mean, that was just amazing. I would have been happy with that on its own, to be honest. But then, yeah, Liam comes off and the crowd is just proper up for it. Like, we all are. Kicks off with Rock and Roll Star. There's flares everywhere. Like, amazing. The crowd, I say, like, I love this singing to all the riffs as well now. Like, I don't remember that used to happen very much, but I love it, like, singing along with riffs like Morning Glory, doing the da-da-da-da bits. Like, that's great. I think there should be more of that as well. And, like I say, flares everywhere. And just the youth in the crowd is, like, really refreshing to see. There's a group of lads in front of me who must have been about 19 at the most, so wouldn't even have been alive when Oasis were first out, but they were like over the moon every time you played any Oasis, and they were singing along to all the words. So, like, credit to Liam, he's done a great job of getting the youth of today into Oasis still now, and I love seeing it. Just reminds me of me when I was younger, and it's great that it's like testament to the band that they're still doing that all these years on. And yeah, like I say, just what a day. The set list, oh, just cram-packed full of Oasis, and his song sounded great in there. Highlights, like Bring It On Down, Listen Up, Whatever, was amazing. Some Might Say, Cigarettes and Alcohol, great. I'd like to hear, do you know what I mean? But he dropped that, but I don't really care. Like, the rest of the set was great. Oh, yeah, and another thing and all was Bonehead coming on. That was great. I'm so glad to see Bonehead there. It's like Liam and Bonehead, perfect. Another plus for the gig, amazing. The only criticism we had, like I said in that review, like, was I don't know, because where we were stood, it just wasn't very loud. It was everyone around us was shouting, turn it up. It was, the crowd was singing, you couldn't hear anything, but the music kept, you could tell they were trying to adjust the sound, because it would go louder in parts and it would go quiet again, but the overall sound just wasn't loud enough, really. But it doesn't take away, like, we all just had a great sing song, and that's what going to watch Liam and Oasis was all about. And yeah, I'm not letting that, like, dampen the whole day. It was amazing. Just a touch louder would have been like the icing on the cake. And the bars were a joke, but I think everyone's been saying that. But I got like 5 drinks when I went to the bar, because I could just see it was going to be like that. So we planned ahead, and I think, yeah, that needs to be addressed, Finsbury Park, because that's just not good enough, like the queuing like that. So yeah, what a day, an amazing day, loved it. I'm still buzzing now 2 days on, and I'm still feeling the effects, because I can't drink like I used to, even though I think I can at the time, so I'm still not great 2 days after the gig. And one last thing and all, to the bloke who likes to throw we around, or piss, congratulations, you got me. All these years going to watch races, I've avoided that, but this time, they got me. So, if you're listening to this, well done, you bastard. Anyway, James, again, nice to meet you, mate. Hope to see you again in the future. Top gig. See you later.
Quality stuff, mate. Thank you, Dave. Much appreciated. And yeah, hopefully see you again. And I love that drunk walking back stuff. What was he on about? Smashing someone's sister? Oh, good. Good stuff. Love it. Right. Who's up next? Another person that I was... I'd had messages back and forth in the day, and that he was going to come and meet us, and then he didn't. And I assumed he just hadn't made it to the pub or whatever. And then, later on in the day, we got this message.
Hello, James. Hello, Mr. Oasis Podcast. Morning after Liam, Finsbury Park yesterday. Gutted I didn't come over and say hello to yourself, but you seem to be at the time in the pub in a good conversation. I think it was with Katie. And I was about to come over and obviously say hello, have a good chat, have a beer. And then some bloke noticed that I had the same pretty green polo shirt on as him. So we decided to have a chat. Then I couldn't get away from him. Funny enough, he was a nice guy, but, you know, it was just a bit awkward. And then some of my other friends come over. So it was just a bit of a one of them moments where I thought, oh, okay, I might bump into you somewhere in the park. But obviously that didn't happen. Regarding the gig itself, I was like all of us, I suppose, going to see Liam. You're thinking, oh, well, you know, I hope his voice is on form. I hope he's on top form, you know, but I was right down the front, right side of the stage, underneath the right screen. And he was from what, you know, yes, everyone around us was singing. We was all singing, but he sounded amazing. I just read your post about the gig. I agree on all of it, what you said. You know, it's got to be positive. You've got to, you know, say the positives and the negatives. You've got to be honest, you know. The actual event itself, because it was an event, just a bit kind of, just a lot of these things now, they're all like the people that, the organisers of these events, it just seems like they want to cram in too much. They want to, you know, try and, don't need it. We don't need it. We went there to see Liam. We didn't go there to see anyone else. The support is an added bonus, isn't it, at the end of the day? You know, and it just seemed that it just crammed too much into it. There's no need for a second stage. There was no need for that at all. And obviously the main stage, you know, that's all that needed. You know, you could have had the music starting at 3:30 in the afternoon, and you could have had a few small bands. Like there was, but just have one main stage. And then, you know, DMAs, what time did they come on? Was it 4:45 or quarter to six or whatever it was? And then it seemed like there was only on for half an hour. Where the band prior to them, the Sherlocks, who, my opinion, by the way, sorry, just poo, cliched rubbish. You know, the kid's about 16 and he's got a 1982, whatever it was, England top, just come out of the packet, you know, thinking he's, you know, weren't happy, a bit boring for me. DMAs were solid, they were okay. Sound engineer could have, you know, turned the volume up a little bit. I think a few of us went to get something to eat, you know, as you said, your £8 chicken noodles. I had an £8 burrito myself. And I wanted to know where my older brother was. My older brother's at the second stage, so I had a little wander over, and I wondered why he was there for such a long time. He was watching a band called Hey Charlie, which were three girls, I don't know how old they were, might be around 20 years old, in identical outfits, looked like they'd just come out of a school in Neighbours, and I only caught like the last minute of their set, and I was gutted, because, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, they could have been a good band on the ear, not just on the eye. And I said that to their sound engineer after they finished. I went, mate, that band should have been plugged a bit better than what it was, because, you know, there was about 100 people watching them. You know, if you had them on the main stage, a lot of us drunken, well, not drunken because we couldn't even get a drink, but, you know, a lot of the blokes would have been happy to watch them on the main stage. And then what else? Wolf Alice, brilliant. You know, not everyone's cup of tea because it's not that kind of Oasis Liam vibe thing, but I think it's brilliant. I think me and the close friends that were there, we've seen them a couple of times at their own gigs. We love it. We love their 90s sound. It reminds us of like a bit of the Cranberries, bit of Sleeper. I don't know, something like, it's just got that really like early to mid 90s sound going on. I love it. They're brilliant. Great solid band. Ellie, the lead singer, is brilliant. No, they should be bigger than what they are. But yeah, they were brilliant. Obviously, New Ashcroft was going to come on. Did he do four songs? Yeah, brilliant, wasn't it? It took me back to 1997 straight away, just being there. Before I start talking about Liam, though, again, going back to the whole event and the whole organisers, it's like, really? Why is it so hard to get a beer now? Why is it so hard? I don't get it. It's like 50,000 people in a park. and there's just like three bars, and you know, they're not just like really, it's just, it doesn't make sense. I just don't get it. You know, now talking on this, is I'm thinking, oh, it's actually quite nice that I've woken up and I don't feel like, you know, I've got a sore head. I might have got a bit of a sore head from the sun, but that, you know, I have the sun cream on my head every 2 minutes. But it's just like, really, didn't, and that kind of affected the day a little bit, I thought, because there was like eight of us and it was like, oh, we want a drink, you know, yes, we were still having a good time, but it was like, oh, we've got to stand for an hour in a queue, and it kind of, little things like that, just kind of wasn't, it didn't feel like we was relaxed as we wanted to be, because it was just like, oh, really, got to go to the bar. And then when two of us did go to the bar, it's like, oh, where have they, you know, they've been in an hour in the queue, so you're losing people, and it's a day out that you've been planning for months, and you know, and it's, you don't spend the time that you want with them, because the people are halfway, you know, on the other side of the park. But anyway, that's just a little rant in it, as you know, as we all do as we get older. But it's a bit of a, I don't think that's ever going to change. I think it's just how it is now, I suppose. I went to a similar gig a few years ago at Hyde Park. It was like one of those Barclay Card events, and it was the Libertines, and they sold it a year before. Yep, the Libertines playing at Hyde Park, alongside The View, The Rifles, Reverend and the Makers, Maximo Park, Graham Coxon, The Enemy, Wolf Alice were there when they started, The Pogues. So they sold it like that. So when you look at it on paper, it's like, oh, wow, that looks amazing. What a great day out gig to be. And as it gets closer to the event itself, it's like, yeah, there's going to be three stages. All right, okay, cool. So, you know, get there on the day. Then there's all these clashes in one park. You know, oh, I can't see Maximo Park because the Rifles are on. Oh, I can't see such and such because they're on. And it was when Wolf Alice first come onto the scene, we wanted to go into the, see them in the tent in the park. Nope, you can't get in because the tent's full up. And you're just like, oh, really? So you've advertised it as like seven or eight bands that are on, and literally on that day it was only the Libertines, the Enemy, or someone else that we actually saw their full sets. And you just think, wow, they're not selling it right at all. And again, I just remember at the time, it was like 3 years to get a drink, 3 years to go for a pee. That's just what it is now, and I just don't think these people who are actually organising these things are not, they just don't get it, really don't get it. They're sitting there, all they're thinking about is selling it. But I think the gig was sold out practically, this gig was sold out before anyone even knew who was supporting Liam. So, on Liam, like I said, Liam was brilliant. It's great to hear probably three quarters of the set was Oasis songs. Kind of knew what the songs were going to be now because through social media. There was one thing though, there was one song they launched into, and we were all looking at each other going, what's this then? And someone went, oh, it's Bring It On Down. I was like, really? And they used to moan about Tony McCarroll's drumming. Wow. You know what I mean? They could have got Tony McCarroll on standard drumming for that. The drumming at the start of Bring It On Down was shocking. It was that bad, he couldn't even work out what the song was. And then the rest of it, you know, whatever was quality, Listen Up was brilliant. I Have All I Need was really good. I thought that was so good, it kind of felt like the band weren't even playing it. It felt like Liam was singing to a backing track. That's how good it was. It actually wouldn't surprise me if they were playing to a backing track. Yeah, Live Forever, Wonderwall. Do You Want to Be a Spaceman was very nice. And like you said on your post earlier, someone else said it on Twitter, it was great that we were all singing Noel's parts and we was all kind of laughing as we were doing it. Or one, and me and another close pal, we were quite, you know, like yourselves, we know the little things about Oasis. It's like when Liam was doing some, I'd say, me and my other pal were doing that Oh Yeah bit that Liam did at Main Road on the There and Then DVD. So that was quite funny, you know. But basically, that Live Forever lyric, isn't it? We see things they'll never see. So Yeah. When Liam finished with Wonderwall, I think literally people were standing there for probably a good few minutes thinking that he was going to come on, because it didn't feel like an end of a gig. But hey, that's what he does, isn't it? He doesn't do no grand finales. He does, you know, doesn't do a Noel. He doesn't kind of get the whole band together and do a bow down to the crowd. He goes, thank you, good night, and see you. And that's it. There's no, you know. So that was brilliant. You know, a couple of friends, members of family who never seen Liam before, you know, a bit younger, you know, they were early teenagers when Oasis split up, so that's what it is now. There's a huge chunk of the crowd, wasn't there, that was Oasis. They'd never seen Oasis before, and it's quite baffling, really, because a lot of the people that were there were probably, one weren't even born, you know, in 1996, or they were really hung even when they split up, and that's great. Yes, I've probably waffled on or baffled on too long now. You probably won't even put this in the next podcast. If you're very good at editing this, you know, hopefully you can do a good job for me, but I've waffled on. Anyway, hopefully I might see you down the line somewhere at a U2 gig. Okay, take care, bye.
Thank you for that, Dan. That's brilliant, mate. Much appreciated. And yeah, you should have come over. You should have come over and said hello, but that's fine. We will meet up again, I'm sure. Probably not at a U2 gig, though, I wouldn't have thought. I can't really afford to remortgage the house to go and see them. The only other thing I was going to mention, actually, was obviously Liam also played the Transmit Festival up in Scotland. And it's a similar set. He played You Want to Be a Spaceman. It was on BBC iPlayer. I think it was shown on BBC Scotland, so you can get it in BBC iPlayer in the rest of the UK. And the set list was the same. Obviously, we get professional videos on that one, rather than just the fan ones, which was Finsbury Park. But the one thing that was quite entertaining was that they stopped the show because some idiot had climbed up this huge steel gantry. So he stopped for a little while. So that's quite entertaining. So let's have a listen to how Liam reacted to that. And if you remember, in the episode I did with George Lewis, we mentioned that the same thing happened at Bolton, I think in 2000, I think, that someone had climbed at a gantry and Liam sort of shouted to get this guy down. He wouldn't play on while he was up there, which is fair enough. But yeah, encouraging the guy to jump was an interesting choice, but well done, Liam. So if you've been to see Liam at any of these festivals, or Noel's still touring as well, so if you've been to see Noel in the various places that he's been playing around the world, then do get in touch. Or if you have any thoughts on Twisted Wheel or the other bands, the other people we've spoken to, then I'd love to hear from you. oasispod@gmail.com. Next up on the A to Z, well, it should be All Around the World Reprise, but we've kind of covered that. So it will be Angel Child, or Angel Child Demo, the acoustic track on the Do You Know What I Mean single. So any thoughts you have on Angel Child, then do feel free to fire them over. As always, it's oasispod@gmail.com. So that'll do it for this week's episode of the Oasis Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, the special thanks goes to our patrons who put their money where their mouth is. We've had two new patrons in the last week, which was Andrew and Trevor. So thank you very much, guys. Welcome aboard. Much appreciated. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I will post articles by myself and by other occasional contributors. And we actually had Brianna Westervelt wrote a little piece for us about seeing Liam over in the Lincoln Theatre, Washington. So that's a really good piece. That's definitely worth reading. And I also did a write-up review just on that the morning after the Finsbury Park gig, just while the thoughts were fresh. So yeah, make sure you're checking that out. Please follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, just at Oasis Podcast. As I said, the email is oasispod@gmail.com. You can buy merch with the Oasis Pod logo at TeePublic. And please subscribe and review on iTunes. Apparently it helps us shoot up the charts. So if you can do that, that would be greatly appreciated. And I'm up to a 93 ratings on iTunes. So if at least 7 of you could go and give me a 5-star rating, it'd be lovely to get over 100. And as I say, reviews if you wouldn't mind, because that has gone a little bit quiet in the last few weeks. So until next time, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Well, you know, you're a potato.